Okay, I think that we'll call the meeting of the executive committee to order. Are we online? Okay. Caitlin, will you go over the procedures?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Before I get started, we do not have a quorum of voting members in person today, so we will be running this meeting as an informational workshop only with no action taken. So now I'll just go over some logistics. If you need to use Wi-Fi, you can connect through WB public Wi-Fi and connect through your browser. This meeting is obviously in a hybrid format. We have some members joining us remotely as well as in person. For those joining virtually, you can, if you're calling in, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and *6 to unmute yourself. The meeting is being recorded and live streamed, so please speak clearly. And for members in person, please remember to use your microphones so those online can hear us and the recording can capture your comments. So that concludes the overview of the meeting logistics. We can move to roll call attendance for introductions.
Sure, let's do that.
Okay, I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Give me one moment. All right, Jonathan Bishop.
Here.
We have EJ Caldwell.
Here.
Tom Ford.
Present.
Gloria Gray. Should be able to unmute yourself. You might have to dial *6.
Here.
Okay. Here. Thank you. Thank you, Gloria.
Thank you.
Barack Kemmelgard.
Here.
Catherine Peace.
Present.
Dennis Washburn.
I'm here for Clark Stevens.
And Erica Yelensky.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon.
Hey, that will conclude roll call. I recommend we move to item one for public comment.
Right. Real, before we start, can I just ask a quick question on procedure? So things that on the agenda were potentially sort of voting items, like the, you know, establishing the agenda for the April meeting, we're still going to discuss those, just not vote on them, basically?
Yes, we'll discuss them. We have the ability to, as the chair, to work with the staff to get the agenda out, even if we haven't voted on it from the EC. Okay, we'll move to item one, which is public comments. I believe we have one person for public comment. Total of 4 minutes for all comments related to this agenda.
Yes, we did have, yes, he just joined the meeting. So Walter, we are just starting public comment. If you are ready to speak, I will get your slides showing, and then Luke will be tracking your time separately and we'll chime in when you have about a minute left.
Thank you, Caitlin. Thank you, Luke. Yeah, I just wanted to circle back to the last meeting at which CDFW indicated that they were going to give an update on the Bino Wetlands at the April governing board meeting. I said that wasn't on the agenda as something that was going to be included. I know this is the same thing happened last time, and it was able to get on the December agenda. So I'm hoping that that's the case this time, and would hope for an update today from the director that is the case, or if not, you know, what the situation is. And I just want to go back again why this is important. This slide that is up here now is an FAQ from 2014. It says who owns the wetlands, and it indicates the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, but it mentions the California Coastal Conservancy, Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission, California State Lands Commission as participating partners in the planning and restoration at the reserve. Three of those organizations, right, have basically checked out. You're one of them, and that's caused quite a lot of problems. Who is funding the restoration project? Again, the Conservancy has already gone through all of the money that they had. That's all gone. So we don't see really what their role is now. I don't know if they've been coming to these meetings. And then who makes the final decisions? Again, State Lands Commission and Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission, part of the project management team. And then when will the restoration begin? At one point, back in 2010, there was a blurb here that said the restoration was scheduled to begin in 2012. And then they just kind of stripped that line out, and we haven't seen that since. So again, a little bit of red flag. If I could have the next slide, Caitlin, please. Why this is important isn't just, you know, for the project. It's that invasive weeds, there's a wide consensus that invasive weeds are actively, on sort of a day-to-day basis, harming this ecosystem. And we know that there are other ways, right? Regardless of what the argument is for or against the project, we know it's not going to happen for a long time. And we know that there are other ways to address weeds. These weeds happen to be in the Bay Foundation. This is all Euphorbia terracina, all in the Bay Foundation's project site, which they abandoned. That's another big problem that we're trying to get some resolution on. And if I could have the next slide, please. And I think what happens is oftentimes, you know, when people ask this question, the answer they get back is, oh, don't worry, we're finishing up the EIR and then we're going to start. And that's really misleading, because the approach that CDFW is taking now is they stopped pursuing an EIS, which is what they need to do work in places like Area A and North Area B, which they themselves said is the big problem area for invasive weeds. And so getting some kind of program in place, now the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission cannot order CDFW to do that. What the Santa Monica Bay Restoration Commission has the statutory authority to do is to advise CDFW, just the same way that you wrote a letter on the access, and then we got access, and that's been a huge success. We could be doing interim stewardship in these same areas. It doesn't mean that the project, or some project, some variation of the project, might not someday be necessary. It just means that we're not letting the ecosystem degrade on a day-by-day basis. I know that two of the organizations, at least on the call, have indicated that they are supportive of this project and wrote a letter that really referred to the purported benefits of the full project, not this sequence as one and two. If you look at the picture of all these birds, including these two American avocets.
30 seconds, Walter.
Thank you, Luke. Southeast Area B is not perfect, but it is far more healthy relatively than these areas north of the creek that CDFW identified. So again, I would really appreciate if the director could just let us know, is this happening in April or not, or when will it happen? And that we just come up with a plan to address this. And quick final thought, if you let me just finish this one last thought, is that the EIR, not EIS, BIR, is gonna be coming out any second now, or any day now, I should say, sometime in spring. And so we're worried that there's a sort of intentional effort to delay discussion in this body until after that comes out, or until after the comment period. So hopefully we can avoid that.
That's time, Walter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Walter. Are there any other public comments?
No, there's no other public comments.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll move on to the order of the agenda. The staff does not propose any changes in the order of agenda. Any of the members have any? Okay.
None. Okay.
Then we will move to the report from the Administrative Director, item 2B. Luke?
Hello, everyone. I'm sorry I couldn't join you in person. Thank you for the introduction, Jonathan. The Executive Committee last met on January 18th. During that meeting, the Executive Committee discussed several updates to the Commission's Memorandum of Understanding and provided valuable guidance on the amendment. The amended MOU was ultimately adopted during the February Governing Board meeting. As discussed previously, the amended MOU does allow for the election of an additional Executive Committee member in instances where the Chief Deputy Director of the State Water Resources Control Board is elected as chair, which is currently the case. So staff hope to hold this election in the coming months. Currently, Commission staff and the Bay Foundation have been compiling the fiscal year 2025 work plan for the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program. And on February 22nd, Commission staff and the Bay Foundation held a public workshop for members of the public to provide comments on the work plan. There was also a two-week public written comment period in February, which produced additional public feedback. So staff's priority since that workshop has been sifting through the comments and identifying potential updates to that work plan. We will review and discuss some of the comments received later in this meeting and have some discussion based on those comments. Staff have also been working on getting the final two Prop 50 grants executed. Those are Culver City Citywide Bioretention System Project and CSU Fullerton's project studying rocky intertidal habitats. Again, we hope to have those executed soon. Yesterday, March 20th, the Commission's Technical Advisory Committee met to continue planning for State of the Bay updates on the Santa Monica Bay National Estuary Program website. And the TAC also discussed how the Commission should use the latest climate change science to inform actions in the CCMP, as well as other aspects of the Commission's work. And finally, staff have begun reviewing the 2018 CCMP, which is due for an update per US EPA guidance. And as discussed previously, staff will be asking the executive committee to provide guidance and input on potential updates. That was actually a role and responsibility that was named in the MOU amendment. So our intention is to have regularly occurring discussions about the CCMP at these meetings. So we hope to begin those discussions in the upcoming months. That concludes my updates. Thank you.
Any questions for Luke? Seeing none. The next item is approval of the minutes. Since we do not have a quorum, we will postpone that item until the next EC meeting, correct? Okay. And then the item after that, 2D, is a consideration of approval of the executive committee dates. We will do that through email with folks because we don't have a quorum. Do we have a projected date for people to hear?
Yes. So the reason why we're suggesting this change is because, as was indicated in the staff report for this item, US EPA staff will actually be in Santa Monica in our watersheds the last week of May, I believe around May 20th, for site visits related to the National Estuary Program's program evaluation. So they are available at that time to provide an in-person presentation on the preliminary findings of that evaluation. So we are proposing to reschedule the May executive committee meeting to May 23rd at the same time, which is 1 to 3 p.m., but it would be at Hyperion. So we're not asking for a vote today because we can't without quorum. So we will be soliciting input and availability from members individually through email, and then we'll communicate any changes to the May meeting schedule through email as well.
Any questions? Okay, seeing none. Turn my page. We will not establish the governing board meeting agenda for April 18th, but we will have an information item on. I think Luke, are you going to?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Oh, going over the agenda for the April 18th governing board meeting, is that you or Caitlin?
That will be both of us. Okay. So yeah, going over the agenda. So for the April governing board meeting, we have a few items for you to consider. One of them we are hoping to have some discussion on during today's meeting. But first, I'm sorry, let me pull it up. First, we want to talk about the fiscal year 2025 work plan, which I have a presentation for you all on, and then we will discuss the BIL work plan. Sorry, let me get situated here. I'm going to share my screen. I hope you all can see it.
Yes, we can see it.
Great. So to kick this off, to kind of frame this for you all, we will be discussing comments that we received during not only the public comment period for the work plan, but also that workshop that I discussed earlier. So we'll review some of these comments, and then we will have a discussion on them at the end. We'll be asking you all for input because some of them need to be resolved for the final draft of the work plan. And then some of the discussion questions are a little more open-ended. So we're hoping to get some guidance on a few things. Before jumping into the comments that we received and giving you examples of those, I first wanted to give you a breakdown of how we categorized each comment that we received. So we placed each comment into one of three categories. The first category is comments that related to actions that are funded by the NEP, the US EPA NEP grant. To be placed in this category, that comment had to be related to an action that was in the work plan and in the CCMP. The Bay Foundation had to be a lead entity on that action, and the action has to be potentially receiving US EPA NEP funding for 2025. For category two, this is where we placed comments that pertain to actions that are not funded by the US EPA NEP grant in 2025, or not proposed to be funded. So in order to fall into this category, that comment had to relate to an action that is in the work plan and is in the CCMP. These are for actions that the Bay Foundation is not a lead entity on. And this action is, again, not going to be receiving, or it's not proposed to receive funding in fiscal year 2025. This will become clearer as my presentation goes on, but just to give you a quick example, the MPA Watch program falls under this second category. LA Waterkeeper is the lead entity, and they are not receiving a US EPA NEP grant funding for that action. And then finally, the last category we created is for actions that are not currently, or comments for actions that are not currently encapsulated in the CCMP. So in order for us to consider those comments, we would need to have a change in the CCMP. And again, I'll review some of those so they will become clearer as I go on. To start, I want to review some of the public comments we received on that first category. So these are items that could potentially receive the NEP grant funding in 2025. And these are items that the Bay Foundation is a lead entity on. And these are listed in order of the action that they pertain to. So they're not in order of importance or anything like that. It's merely just number. It's a bit arbitrary. So first, we received a lot of support from members of the public, as well as members of the commission. For abalone restoration, kelp restoration, and seagrass restoration. We received a lot of recommendations and support for sand dunes and bluffs restoration, or also known as the Living Shoreline Project, that the Bay Foundation is leading. There was a lot of support for education and advocacy for water conservation strategies, such as advocating for the use of native planting. Native plants in landscaping. A lot of support for single-use plastic bans region-wide. Recommendations for ocean acidification monitoring were part of the comments we received. Folks had ideas on how to improve sediment management and help prevent coastal erosion. There were also some recommendations for beach grooming, which don't actually pertain to an action in this work plan. However, those comments did relate to a project in the BIL work plan, which we will discuss later, but I still felt that it was relevant to bring up in this presentation. So now moving on, most of the comments that we received on the work plan actually pertained to that second category of comments that related to actions where the Bay Foundation is not a lead entity and actions that are not slated to receive any P funding. So I have a few slides on the second category. So we received a lot of feedback that related to water quality. You can see the actions listed there. So folks wanted improved public notification and accessibility of water quality data. Yes, I see a question from Dennis. Well, we can't hear you, Dennis. Can you unmute?
Are these items addressing carbon reduction or sequestration or any related elements? Because you've got obviously a whole number of things here that, you know, are part of the so-called climate change and global warming and GHG reduction issues, carbon being a significant part of that. Does this section represent any thought in that area?
I don't believe we received too many comments on carbon sequestration. It was mentioned a few times as an ecosystem service, but no recommendations or suggestions for actions related to it outside of support for kelp restoration, eelgrass restoration, wetlands restoration. Does that answer your question, Dennis?
Yes, thanks.
Okay, thank you. And we could always talk about it more separately. So folks also had recommendations for conducting contaminant source identification and control, addressing DDT contamination off the Palos Verdes shelf, monitoring for constituents of emerging concern. So those are pollutants that have yet to, that initial science suggests are harmful to public health or the environment, but there are yet to be objectives created for those contaminants. We received a lot of support for nature-based solutions for runoff, so runoff capture for water quality improvement. And we received comments to improve and increase monitoring on harmful algal blooms, which is closely related to water quality. Again, with the second category, these are actions in the work plan that are not slated to be funded in 2025. We received some comments on trash pollution. Folks wanted increased monitoring, particularly in fishing gear, monitoring for fishing gear, which would require a tweak here or there to the work plan. Improved storm drain system maintenance and upkeep, which relates to TMDL compliance with trash TMDLs. We received comments encouraging reduction policies and consistent enforcement of those trash reduction policies. And we received a lot of support for public outreach and engagement surrounding trash pollution, such as anti-littering campaigns. Folks had ideas for that, and beach cleanups as well. Again, continuing with that second category, this is the last slide on that. We received support for artificial reefs. The public was in support. Some folks of the public were in support of those. We received support for stream restoration, such as the removal of Ringe Dam, which is an action in the work plan. A lot of folks were interested in Biona wetlands restoration and access recommendations. There was a lot of support for stormwater capture, specifically for infiltration, which again, this is related to water quality, but this was more focused on water supply. So folks were had recommendations for improving water infiltration for supply. And then there was support for MPA monitoring. On to that final category of comments that just aren't encapsulated by an action currently in the CCMP and work plan. We received a recommendation to study aquaculture impacts in Santa Monica Bay. Also to monitor noise pollution and the impacts that has on the environment in Santa Monica Bay. There was support for trash cleanups, which surprisingly isn't named as an action or a next step in the CCMP. This was an interesting comment of supporting water capture and reuse projects at the Santa Monica Airport, which is a large piece of land in Santa Monica that will be decommissioned and turned into a park. So there is an opportunity there for green infrastructure. Continuing with that third category, there were recommendations to acquire land along Biona Creek for restoration and increased flood capacity. Now that does already relate to an action in the work plan, but just based on the comment, it sounded like it might require an addition. Folks had ideas to expand bluff restoration efforts, as well as there was support for policies that humanely address homelessness in Los Angeles. So homelessness is a very complex issue, and since encampments do not receive sanitation services, encampments have implications for trash pollution. And then finally, on this third category, there were recommendations to study the impacts of commercial fishing in Santa Monica Bay and a recommendation to support policies that reduce the potential for wildfires. So wildfires can have a big impact on terrestrial ecosystems and aquatic systems, especially after rains after a wildfire. It sends a lot of contaminants into the ocean. And currently the work plan or the CCMP does not mention wildfire. So it's an interesting thought. I'll pause there before I jump into, or let me do one more slide and then I'll pause before jumping into our discussion. So I just wanted to give everyone a recap of the major themes of the commentary that we received and just keep in mind that some of these themes I actually haven't mentioned yet in my presentation because I was hoping to have a bit of discussion on them. So just be aware of that. So we received a lot of comments that wanted the commission to increase engagement with tribes. And related to that, we received a lot of recommendations for collaborations and partnerships. So if you look at the staff report, there's actually a table at the end that lists all of the entities that were named for potential collaboration. We received questions about metrics of success and how successful a lot of these actions have been over the years. Folks wanted status updates as well. So we will discuss that later on in this presentation, along with those other items. We received a lot of support for education, outreach, engagement, and workforce development. Folks, that's very important for members of the public who reached out to us. There was a lot of support for Biona wetlands restoration, water quality improvements, trash pollution improvements, habitat protection restoration was a major theme, as well as climate resiliency, public health and safety. So, I'm going to pause here and see if there are any questions or comments that folks want to make on anything that I've presented on thus far. And again, there are some items here that I will want to discuss with you all in a minute. So yeah, any questions?
Luke, I don't see any questions now. I think at least from me, I want to understand a little bit more what your discussion items are and
okay,
and how we, what you're looking for in Tueva. But
yeah, I'll move on to my first discussion slide then. And again, let me know, Jonathan or anyone else, if my ask is not clear enough. So first things to discuss are items that should be cleared up, questions that should be cleared up before the final draft of the work plan is brought to the governing. And most of these questions actually pertain to our previous discussions on this work plan from our last executive committee meeting and governing board meeting. So a lot of these comments actually came from commission members. So the first question is, how should funding be indicated in the report? So we received this question early on in the process, and this caused, so the way that the work plan is laid out was causing some confusion, because there are some actions that are that may receive fiscal year 2025 funding, and there are some actions that will not be receiving any. I'll use the MPA watch program as an example again. That is an action that will not be receiving, or it's not proposed to receive funding in 2025 through the NEP grant. So members want clarification for those actions, and want clarification for the actions that will be funded or might be funded. So I was hoping, Tom, could you maybe share a little bit about how the Bay Foundation has decided to address that question? And maybe that'll satisfy this question.
Yeah, Luke, maybe it's just because we're not in the same room, I'm having difficulties. But the how we're going to try to resolve what we're funding or what we're not funding, or?
Yeah, so Heather, I believe Heather had an idea to list the funding amount somewhere in the work plan that was different from before.
So, yeah, when we present the budget and the staffing section in the final draft for approval before the governing board, it's each one of the actions or other elements of supporting the program are broken out as to how much funding they're receiving, which action it's related to, or what types of efforts. So that will all be made crystal clear, I think, for everybody. For a more generic statement, the way that we've structured the use of the 320 funds over the past many years is there are portions of those funds that work on most of the actions that the Bay Foundation is involved in the lead of, or for administrative support for the program. And then the other projects that we develop from other funding sources, other partners to conduct restoration work or other actions. TBF develops those, and we put those into play, and those serve as, you know, matching funds towards the grant, which has to be matched one-to-one. And then, as you've, I think, identified well in your presentation, Luke, there's, you know, the other leads and the other actions that are being undertaken by local agencies, governments, partners to get it there. So if I'm not answering your question, please stop me now.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, so, please, John.
The way I understand it is that there's really three types of actions that have different funding sources in the work plan. Those that are paid for by the federal grant, those that are paid for by the foundation through matching grants and other funds, and then those that are furtherance of the mission, but are paid for and by and run by another organization.
That's a very good characterization, John.
I think the question is it possible in the work plan to indicate, as you go through those actions, which of those three categories they fall into? I know that at the end, there's a breakout of budget, but it doesn't, it's harder for people to read the actions and know, oh, this is one that's funded by the US EPA, or this was funded by the Bay Foundation as a match, or this is not funded but is in furtherance.
So I do understand your question. I'm just trying to think through my response. when we produce the budget for this, it is strictly where the 320 funds are going. It doesn't elucidate the other funds per se in that degree of detail. And there, I'm just trying to pick, for example, like the, Safe Clean Water Program funding that the county develops and administers. We don't send any 320 funds to them either. So I'm sorry,
I wasn't looking for a budget. I was looking for, and I'll just make it up, and you can, as an illustration, that there'd be a an asterisk next to the ones that you fund under the grant. There'd be a X next to the ones that are matching grants, and there would be a cross next to the ones that are
So
that when
not with the budget per se, but with the narrative and the actions, hey, this one's getting is recommended for EPA funding, this one for 320 funding, this one is being supported by matching funds that Bay Foundation has developed.
Yes.
And that,
yes, that's, yeah, that's,
and then the other category would be no 320, no match from the Bay Foundation's other activities to try to match the 320 funds.
Right.
Sometimes if you tell it to me the third time, I can get it. All right. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, we can do that.
Because I think that's what the concern was, is that when you're reading the work plan, you don't know without trying to cross-reference back to the budget, what are the things that that the essentially the management commission is really looking at, because we're really not going to be telling the county what they should do with their clean water funds, but it does further the efforts of the commission. It's part of the overall watershed plan.
Yes, sir. No, I understand perfectly, and we'll put that into place. I may circulate a subsample of that work to Caitlin and Luke in advance of us going all the way down through the road, so that it seems crystal clear where we're heading in. But that's understand the intent. Sounds like great clarity that we could help provide for folks.
Any questions from any of the executive committee members? Yes, Catherine.
I think that would be really helpful to highlight or to call out those projects that are getting the 320 funds. Is, I guess, the kind of follow-up question then is, how much wiggle room is there, or is it pretty prescriptive? Like, it's already, or is this the opportunity when these are out for public comments to comment on the work plan as well as allocation of funds, or is that pretty set with EPA already?
I don't know if Erica wants to speak on behalf of the EPA rather than I.
Do you want to talk first and then I can, or I can say that it is not set in stone. I think it's a discussion, right? Because Tom's building a budget for the next fiscal year and has to figure out staffing and, where, has maybe agreements in place. But I think if you are interested in something and you see a solid project that supports implementation of the CCMP that is not captured, it's part of the CCMP, but it's not in there, then let's start. Then I would say start talking, and maybe if not this year, then next year. But it's a discussion first. I wouldn't say it's like a definite yes or no. Is that, and I can't see your faces in the room, so I have no idea what expression.
we're sticking our tongues out. It's really funny.
Fantastic. Okay, I'm going to pin you so I can see that. Great.
So I have a slightly different question. So there are a number of items that are being paid for by the 320 grant, and I will just make one up because may or may not be paid for by that, but the kelp restoration project. And we look at it and say, well, you've got 10,000 on there. We would really like additional funding go to that, because we think that's really important. And a comment might be to increase the amount of funding associated with that, and asking you to consider increasing that and decreasing something that is a lower priority. I'm just making this up, but that's the level of detail that we had trouble in the past, because it's hard to figure that out. And this would allow folks to do that. Is that something that is feasible for you to consider? It doesn't mean that you have to do it.
No, I think the feasibility and the consideration. There are certainly several of these pathways of work that we're committed to through other grants and things like that. The EPA has stressed in the past that if we're working on a project that's part of the work plan, they certainly want to know what's happening, whether there's money going to it or not. And then we have, in several cases, but not necessarily all by any means, you know, look at the 320 fund as a place that can bring in just some additional support to other aspects of, you know, so kelp forest restoration. We've developed lots of other funds for that. The operational budget for that program is, you know, often around $300,000 to $500,000 a year. And we spend, you know, hypothetical, but in the ballpark, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 of EPA 320 on it. Because we don't need much more than that, because we've been successful generating monies for it. Other places where, you know, we're throwing grants out the door, we're competing, we don't get them. And then we're trying to keep those actions moving forward, so we may rely a bit more heavily on 320 funds to put that together. And I can understand that probably doesn't come through very clearly in the presentation of the work plan. And I understand that there's a lot of continuity from one year to the next with it, because they usually take, you know, they're multi-year efforts.
So let me ask it in a different way. Is it helpful to have the commission or the EC, when they're looking at the work plan, say it, we would like to stress that this is a relatively high priority for you, for us in the work plan, what I'm suggesting with that is that means that you look at, do we need to increase the share from the EPA on that to show the preference of priority?
And Jonathan, I think we pull priority for the work plan from the priorities that were established in the action plan itself. Don't consider that to be a performative exercise, like, hey, wow, these are, you know, high priority things for this community. And I think that the update and revision process for the overall CCMP is a way to help us pivot towards those emerging priorities. So I think some of this is scale dependent in my mind. So there's times when we can, I think, make some subtle shifts from one year to the next, but bigger shifts in priority that are saying, we, you know, this one's no longer, you know, top of the list, or as Luke was sharing, like, oh, wildfires, we don't, you know, wildfire management doesn't even appear, but maybe that's a priority that we'd like to see 320 funds and focus go to. So the update later this year would maybe help us manage some of those bigger ticket items. Moving portions of resources around from one to another, there's room for that. I'd say that they're, depending upon exactly what's going on, there might be, you know, like, oh, we're using, you know, 1,500 from the EPA 320 fund to serve as match for this other grant that's also supporting that effort. And then in those situations, I've got less room to maneuver.
Understood. Luke, go ahead.
Sorry, could I, and just wanted to note, Dennis, I see your hand raised, but sorry, I just had a very related question I wanted to ask first. Just to recap, Tom, it sounds like there is some wiggle room. Obviously, you can't do a complete 180 on funding for a certain action. And the follow-up question here is, I think a comment that some members had prior is they, in order to make a decision on what should be prioritized or what should get a funding bump or funding removed, what would help them make a decision like that is to have more information on like success or you know, how many goals have been reached that pertain to that action. So I guess the question is there more context you could add to the work plan that might allude to how much success you've had or how close you are to reaching goals?
Absolutely fair question, Luke. And I don't want to say a challenging one, but it's not one that we haven't attempted to approach. And some of it is in the structure of the plan itself and defining what those goals are so that we can clearly demonstrate progress towards them. And I would say that from my personal view of how our current CCMP actions and goals and next steps are structured, that there's a lot of room for improvement so that we could help show folks that, yeah, we're making progress towards that. We certainly report out, you know, twice a year, and I think we attempt to do it comprehensively to show everybody, you know, the progress that we're making towards the work plan. I know that it's a long document. I know there's a lot in there. And, you know, we do cross these things off as, you know, completed, not as frequently as perhaps we would like to see, to say like, oh yeah, it's done. Isn't that great? But I think that these are all absolutely super concepts. And I don't mean for that CCMP update, so that we're building a structure where we're going, hey, look, right, the goal is super tight. It's, you know, five acres of this by, you know, 2028. And how far did we get each year? And we can, with a little bit of lead time, we can start to reorganize internally how we track that and how we report that out. I'm hesitant to try to take on more reporting requirements. And as you'll see in the budget, you know, there's a lot of money that does move towards administration and reporting. And not that it doesn't deserve all of that priority, but I think, you know, hey, wow, that's a great report, but what did you do? And I've long tried to just keep us on the getting stuff done, doing things that matter, end of the spectrum. I don't mean to suggest you're asking otherwise, but that's the dynamic.
Dennis, one of the things that strikes me about this discussion is that we're, from like my observation, you know, kind of budget bound and, you know, looking to account for, and responsibly so, the accomplishments that come as a responsibility for the funding. One of the things that I find often is refreshing is, and that is either looking for bluebirds, if you know what I'm saying, or looking to strategically look for bluebirds, meaning not just partners or collaborators, but opportunities. I think I've raised this before with the executive committee. The XPRIZE operation is not our job, but it's a source of potential additional funding that is built upon a lot of the work that the Bay Restoration Foundation and Commission have done over these 30 or 40 years. And now, with that basis in place, there are bluebirds of happiness out there where people are literally saying, we got $119 million to deal with water. And water meaning, in their minds, at the Abundance 360 that's probably just wrapping up today, they're talking about competitions to establish businesses that build upon what we've done, not directly, but indirectly. And what we need to do is say, all right, who's looking to either give us support for the projects that we're dealing with, like eelgrass and kelp replacement or shoreline protection or pollution control or removal and so forth. But, you know, there are people who are competing for $5 or $10 million to deal with carbon sequestration in ocean water versus air capture, which is another story altogether. But do we actually include that in our thinking, where who else is doing this kind of work? And is there a bluebird that might, frankly, come our way, and then we get $500,000 worth of equipment or service or information or personnel to accomplish some of the goals that we are mutually pursuing?
So I think that's a great comment, Dennis. I think that that's what the whole point of the additional items that are not part of the budget, that are done by partners, is in the work plan, is to recognize that we collaborate with other entities who have funding or projects that further the work of the commission and the foundation. And so I think we continue to do that and will continue to do that. And those are why they're highlighted in there. So I think that's a good point to make sure we don't forget that in our planning.
I guess Disney magic, where we say, hey, if we had somebody who has spotter buoys that can actually be deployed at the outflow of the Topanga Lagoon Restoration Project, and all they need is to have our help in getting the permission to go and put that in place, it solves their problem. We don't have to spend the $50,000 to get the spotter buoy and the communication system in place, that kind of thinking. And you know, the kelp beds that are on the Malibu coast, essentially, are critical aspects of our restoration long-range plan and our history as well. But those are so critically positioned to help people understand what's really going on in Santa Monica Bay. And we oftentimes have to defend ourselves, from my experience at the Bay Restoration Commission and Fund and Authority and every place else, that, you know, it's not out of the scope of our 320 funding, or it's not, you know, at some congressman's, you know, from 20 years ago idea of what we should be doing, and there's money that finally comes, that kind of stuff. So bluebirds is kind of saying, all right, who else is doing this? And how do we actually build that into our work plan, such that if there is an opportunity to partner or to use the equipment of, or get the help of, you know, in order to, you know, get some of our work accomplished, be it from, you know, Fathom Works up in Oxnard all the way down to essentially San Diego Bay, if you think about everybody having common needs. So I'm asking a general question that might be something that we can actually add a category four to this work plan discussion we're having here, where it's work plan items to address, but then work plan items that we wish we had money or personnel or technology or information support or whatever. And, you know, with artificial intelligence being the topic of the day, you know, I've made 5 videos that talk about the very thing I've been blabbing about, just in 20 minutes worth of effort and questioning and prompting the questions from AI, and you get a 50, 60, 70% solution. And it's built upon things that we have done at the commission and at the foundation, and Tom personally, you've done in the ocean by diving and helping people understand what's going on. Am I out of bounds here, you think, folks?
I don't think you're out of bounds, Dennis. But I do think that we have a vehicle that is intended to help capture what you're describing, and that is in our finance plan, which is also due for an update, where we are asked to, you know, illustrate, you know, exactly what does the Bay need in order to actually achieve all of our far-reaching goals. And the last time that we did that, I would say that we had to do it in a somewhat conservative manner, because the amount of effort to undertake to identify, quantify every cost that we could come down to for a meaningful project, to then identify potential funding sources, to have that picture painted. It comes down to some very subjective justifications at the end. So I think we had looked at that and said, we're just going to deal with potential sources of funding, conservative estimates as to how much we needed. And I wanted to say off the top of my head that, you know, we were looking at like $96 million. But I, you know, clearly nowhere near in the actual realm of what it would take to, you know, get the bay completely done. I'm just thinking of the investments that are being made in the tunes of tens and hundreds of millions of dollars per annum across many of the agencies and the facilities that work to try to keep, you know, the bay water quality, you know, in a good standing alone. So I hope I'm hearing you correctly, and then I'm responding to you that I do understand what you're saying. And I think the intention is for us to try to capture that in that financial planning document. And the other part I'll submit is, you know, the Bay Foundation with its 15 employees and the various partnerships and things that we work with in order to move these programs forward is at this point in time tickling around 115 different partners. And at some point in time, you know, we just come up on a capacity issue where, you know, I just don't know how much more I can do with the staff that I have and the funds that are available to us to develop this. And hopefully we will continue to catch a bluebird or two along the way. And I think we've demonstrated that we've done that in the past pretty well.
Well, this is not any criticism on my part. It's really asking the question of, do we provide for that eventuality in our planning and not have it budget constrained? Because what we're looking for is in the outreach and, you know, public education, you know, section that we do already, you know, do a good job of both managing and reporting and looking to aim it at the future. It seems to me that there's opportunities here that everybody else is saying, isn't there somebody doing this yet? And they don't even know that we're doing it here at the Bay Restoration organizations that we have. And that would be valuable. And if someone's putting up $100 million to reduce carbon, and another, that's Elon Musk through the XPRIZE organization, not that I'm focused entirely on that, but there are other folks who are doing our work or hoping to do so. And, you know, all we need to do is maybe just crosshatch a little bit from here to there and back. So I'm not looking for any action or even an opinion at this point, but if that's something that we can actually allow for a bluebird chapter in our planning, that might be worthwhile.
Yeah, no, thank you, Dennis. And the one part that brings up two thoughts in my mind. No, I wouldn't say that we're budget constrained, where I'm sitting there going like, oh, if I raise 50 grand to do this work, then I've accomplished the task and the task is done. When we know that the costs or the opportunity to do broader scale, more meaningful work on an ecosystem basis, perhaps, you know, we don't limit ourselves that way. It's not, oh, the numbers got satisfied, so now we call it job done. And at the same time, I think Jonathan's question that you patiently rephrased to me a couple of times so I could understand it actually boils down right into the crux of this. We want to be aspirational. We want to say these are our big targets that we want to hit. And we've done that in the past. And I think a lot of that is in our CCMP, which is supposed to look out at a, you know, potentially 20, 25 year profile, but then it makes it very difficult to demonstrate incremental progress to those big high goals. And, you know, trying to find that balance is, I think, a part of what we strive to do. I do see that Erica's hands up. There's a lot of glare on the screen, folks. So be patient with us.
Erica?
Yeah, thank you. And I appreciate this discussion. So thank you all. I want to take kind of a step out and looking forward in the next several months, just thinking about, I know at the, I think it was at the TAC meeting yesterday, Tom, you said that maybe this summer, like was it June, July, you hope to have a draft summary of kind of what's been completed in the CCMP. Hopefully I'm characterizing that correctly. And again, I can't see you because your room zoomed into, now you're all dots, but.
Sorry, I was nodding.
Okay, thank you for translating. So I, and then that brings me to the next question, and this is broader for both, you know, for the Bay Foundation and the commission staff. Just when do you see us kind of gathering to start thinking about the CCMP update? And maybe hopefully this gets more at Catherine's question about, okay, projects that aren't in the CCMP or how the forward moving part of updating the CCMP and having, I know with the revision several years ago, we had multiple meetings to do that. So I would love to, I know we're talking about the work plan right now, but also I want to talk about the update and the process for that. And, you know, do you all see us like this, you know, the EC kind of kicking that off, or maybe staff and then EC and timing? So those are my two questions. I will pause there. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah, I think so, Erica. And I think it is relevant to bring up now, especially since I think the CCMP could also address part of what Dennis is talking about, because that is where we can set a big ambitious goal or open-ended goal even. And that's also an opportunity to set maybe more more achievable short-term goals as well. My intention with regard to the CCMP update is to, I'm still in the process of reviewing it. Caitlin and I are, staff are. And then I was hoping to talk with Bay Foundation and you, Erica, and then eventually bring it to the executive committee, potentially in May, at that May executive committee meeting. Kind of start a discussion on what we think should be the first item to address in an update. So does that answer your question? Sorry if I misinterpreted.
I think that answers part of it. And then kind of from, I'd like to see, I think, like a proposed plan for how you all see this rolling out over the next year, like the process, right? We don't prescribe that you have to have three meetings. EPA doesn't say you have to have three meetings, you have to do this, but you have to, we do say, you know, you need certain elements that, you know, the management conference needs to approve it. So I just want to kind of get a sense and a sense of a feasible timeline.
Yeah, based on the digging that I've done on previous updates, it looks like it's taken around a year and a half to 2 years to do each of those. So I was imagining a similar process for that. However, you know, the work plans are based off of the CCMP. And if we are able to have some productive discussions now, even without an updated CCMP for next year's work plan, we still might be able to implement some ideas that we've discussed today. That's kind of how I'm envisioning things. So I guess we'll take as long as we need to get a good product. Sorry if that's open-ended.
I think what you're looking for, Erica, is a plan on the updated the CCMP and how we envision with the Bay Foundation that rolling out over the next period of time. And we'll work together to get that for you.
Thanks. And I'm happy to be at the table while we do that. I don't want to be divorced from that process. I think it's easier if we work together. But thank you, Jonathan. I want this body to see it, to kind of get that sense. And when, you know, that there is a lot of opportunity for input. And I think that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Luke, I think that we've kind of addressed the second question that you had in conjunction with the first one.
I'm going to move on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We've addressed mostly anything here. Just one last thing to note We did receive all those public comments on actions that aren't funded or aren't proposed to be funded in the 2025 work plan. There are other lead entities that are the folks to talk to with regard to those comments. So staff will be reaching out to those other lead entities to relay.
Thank you. Comments.
Yeah. So moving on with this discussion, we received a lot of input on folks really wanted to see the commission to do more engagement with tribes. And we were hoping to provide or get some guidance from executive committee members on how the commission, the Bay Foundation, and other members can foster relationships. All of these questions on the slide can be answered all at once, or, you know, we're not going to go one by one. So if folks want to share efforts that they've undertaken thus far and share some lessons learned, that would be great. It was also pointed out a few times in public comments that compensation is very important to foster these relationships. So this question would maybe be more pointed to the Bay Foundation, but would compensation be possible if needed to foster a relationship? And do others have guidance here? Anyone have thoughts?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. They're really just things for us to think about, and I think that they're probably part of the CCMP. What I think we've learned at the State Water Board is that you need a directed effort if you're going to have meaningful engagement with the tribes. It's not a part, you know, kind of afterthought. It has to be thought through, and you need to actually have dedicated resources to doing it to make it successful. And so I'm not sure, but my recollection is that there isn't really anything in the CCMP that says we're going to have we're going to dedicate resources to tribal engagement. But I think that we need to be thinking about that. And then we need to be actually setting a budget for it in a work plan that that actually looks at that. And I think there are some goals that are pretty straightforward that we want. We want, in my humble opinion, we want to discuss with the local tribes how best to be they want to be involved in the commission and in the projects that the foundation does on the commission's behalf, and that how we would incorporate them. I would envision if they want to be part of the commission that we would amend our MOU, you know, those kind of things to bring them in. If they want consultation on projects, that we build that into the work for the project so that there is time and resources to get tribal ecological knowledge involved in the development of restoration projects. But I think the first question is there flexibility today, because it's not in the CCMP, to say we want to dedicate some resources this year to building those relationships and determining the parameters of engagement that is workable for the tribes. And I don't know the answer to that question. I'm going to look at Tom and Erica on that.
Yeah, and Erica, unless you want to lead off on this, and we have been at the Bay Foundation, we saw all those comments come in, and we've certainly been discussing it through a number of different inputs and a number of different venues as to how to better engage our local tribes. And I think one of the first answers that comes back is, and Jonathan already spoke to it, it's up to them to tell us how they see that, I think. So job number one is, you know, finding these folks, coming up with a method and a means to get them in the room to help us tell us what they want to do. And then we can start to try to develop, you know, what we need to put into place to help accomplish those goals. And there's a bunch to figure out. But trying to find a place to put it process-wise and fairly, because coming at, you know, prioritizing what we put our money on is something that I've, you know, I don't want to say that this action is more important than that action, because it really varies as to how folks interpret it. Where we have looked at as a place to build this from is underneath program development and outreach, which is a specific line in the budget. It does not, it captures a lot in what program development and outreach is, from things that Dennis was talking about to what we're talking about right now. I've never produced a line item that says traditional ecological knowledge engagement or something along those lines. But we can certainly identify what portion of funds underneath that would be a budget that we're making available, the time that we're committing to making those efforts occur. And I think that that's a solid start. Mm-hmm. And I think it does not contradict how we've approached work plan development in the past.
Erica?
Thank you. And thanks for leading off, Tom. And I know that you've been doing work in this realm, maybe with other funds, and I'm just glad to hear, you know, staff, that you're thinking about how to do it, even though we haven't explicitly said it. It is, you know, part of the Justice 40 goals, and NEPs fit under that. And I think there is a way to financially compensate tribal members for their time with the EPA funds, you know, as consultants. So I wanted to say that. So I'm definitely supportive of, you know, having it under the base or the bill, depending on what makes the most sense. I think we should be explicit about, I mean, you already are in the MOU, which is great. And the MOU is, I'll say, you have started the CCMP update. I should have said that earlier, because you approved the MOU. So you have kicked off, you know, that part, like, the process, and it is spelled out there as a goal. So you are not, so I'm definitely supportive of this. Thank you.
Dennis, I have a recommendation that might actually save us a lot of time and effort. The folks at the Southern California Association of Governments, I'm sure you're familiar with SCAG, in the early 2000s, from roughly 2002 to about 2008, we had to deal with the tribal representation of the entire six-county SCAG region, and you can imagine how complex that was. The ultimate outcome is that the tribes are not in any one city or county. They are unique. They are sovereign in many instances, and that's a federal recognition issue that it would really complicate things. So I would say that it'd be worth somebody's while on staff, and maybe even somebody from either the board, to go to the executive officer of SCAG and talk to them about their experience of dealing with the tribes as a city. They, at the time that we solved the problem on the regional council, we invited 16 of the federally recognized tribes that are in the six county territory to come and determine whether they wanted to be acknowledged as a representative, as if they were a city like Pasadena or Long Beach or whatever. And it turned out to be a good idea. And the tribes are involved in governance, everything from transportation, housing, and environment, and everything else. And it's mediated and also administered through the SCAG Regional Council and the staff, which is actually better funded than us, you know, in dealing with issues that we're talking about. So I would say that it would be worth a phone call, or at least an invitation, getting an invitation to go down and talk to the CEO or executive director of SCAG and ask them what their experience has been in dealing with tribal relations and tribal engagement and tribal funding, because they have lots of money in some cases. All could be very good for our future.
I think that's a great suggestion. I'll work with Luke and we'll try and set up a meeting with SCAG. I don't want to cut things off, but I do want to focus. And so I'm thinking that the request would be to identify in the budget that we're going to have resources as part of this work plan to develop our tribal relationship, and not try and go into too much detail on what that would be, because we need to be talking with them, but this identifying that. And I think that addresses these issues. And it sounded like, from what I heard from you, Tom, and from Erica, that is something that could use 320 funds. You may have other funds that you want to dedicate to that are different, you know, but that you could use some 320 funds to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for summing that up, Jonathan. And I'll just do a brief ending here on the last slide to move things along, because this will be a continuing discussion with the executive committee meetings moving forward. So this is not intended to just be the last conversation here. Very similar to this slide about tribal engagement, we also received a lot of comments of folks wishing to get involved and wishing for more education, outreach, engagement, and several comments about workforce development programs. So folks were wondering if, yeah, there's the potential for some funding to go towards programs like this. So again, a continuing discussion. I don't know if anyone wants final thoughts, but this was the end of this was the last discussion item I had.
So I do have I do believe that education, outreach, and engagement have always been part of the work plan in many of the projects, and interspersed. They may not be identified as one category. Workforce development is a difficult area for many folks in the environmental realm, because it doesn't, you know, it's not clear how you do that. And I'm not sure how best to address that. We have been struggling with that at the State Water Board for a couple of years now on how do we do that when it's really not in our experience or expertise. But I think what really ends up from my experience being useful is including that discussion in the engagement portion of education and outreach. What are the areas that folks that we see that there's a workforce need for, and what are the areas that the community sees that they have interest in? And it's just, at this point, I would suggest it's part of that discussion that you have in that, so that you can figure out, is there anything you can do? I won't go into stories about where we've had success and failures, but that would be my suggestion. I open up for comments or questions from any of the.
Dennis?
Another suggestion, there's the potential bluebird using the last conversation. Are you familiar with the Los Angeles County Economic Development Corporation? Ever heard of it?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yes.
Okay. Well, Bill Allen used to be the executive director there, and Steve Allen's oldest son, and they have a big budget from LA County, and they are into education, workforce development, and public engagement, and so many other things. It'd be worth a visit to the relatively new executive officer of the LA County Economic Development Corporation and look for ways that we can see what they have resolved in dealing with things from a public agency standpoint, and that's kind of what we are. I don't know who that person is at this moment, but I could probably find out and, you know, get that to you, Luke, if you'd like to, you know, make a contact there. And I've been involved with workforce development and everything from housing to education at the Valley Economic Alliance. And, you know, it, you know, is the valley that drains to Long Beach and San Pedro instead of into the Santa Monica Bay, but the principles are the same. So it'd be worth our talking to the LA County Economic Development Corporation. And like I say, they have a budget and they have similar goals that we have. And it could be that their dollars help us accomplish our work without, you know, overburdening Tom and you, Luke, and everybody else, just trying to figure out how do we pay for this kind of program development.
Thank you very much, Dennis.
I'll also point out, just really quickly, Catherine, please add anything if you'd like. But with my time at Heal the Bay, my previous job, we accomplished workforce development goals by doing targeted outreach, doing outreach to schools to recruit interns that weren't provided environmental workforce development. So, I think there are definitely some there's definitely some actions that can be implemented around workforce development.
Yeah.
You know, I was just going to, it's not an idea, but maybe just express my thoughts on this issue in case somebody's listening, maybe they would have a solution. But we're here at the Edward C. Little Water Recycling Facility. We actually use contract operators to operate this facility. But it is very clear to us that there's just not enough people that work at these facilities. And when you take into account what potentially could be done at Hyperion and what they're planning to do with Southern California Pure Water, Metropolitan Water District, they're really, in 10 to 15 years, we will not have the staff and the people to operate these facilities at all. We won't just be short. We won't be able to be in the game, really. And one thing that I've noticed is that workforce development is a part of every conversation that I take part in when we talk about these projects. But the noticeable thing is that each agency and each organization is doing their own or has their own effort. And I think that we can at certain times admit when we don't have the resources or we don't have the answers. And I'm really hopeful that somebody in Sacramento can help recognize that this isn't just a regional issue. It's not an LA County issue. It is a industry issue and it crosses several different industries. So we have an event tonight, oddly enough, at El Camino College, where we're trying to inform high schoolers and students at El Camino College about opportunities in the water industry. Because it's amazing the different types of jobs that there are. You can be an operator, you can be a teacher, a social media expert, divers. I know we all like diving. And so it's amazing that you can do so many different things in this field, in this industry, but people are just not aware of it. And so we're going to do our event tonight. We have, I think, 252 people RSVP'd already. And we expect a lot of foot traffic there at El Camino College. But I would say just from a professional within the industry that we need some help and we need some organization because we can all do our different parts and we all have our own little boundaries and our areas that we dabble in, but it needs to be a collective effort. So Thank you.
Great. I will take that back. Okay. Luke, are we ready to move on?
Yeah, we're ready to move on. And just wanted to point out that, so we actually have a quorum now by, so Gloria, who is remote, has actually left, had to leave early, it looks like. And EJ, who is in person, means we have a quorum. So we now have a quorum of folks in person, and that means we can do a vote. So I recommend actually going back in the agenda and approving the items that we missed, but we can finish up this agenda item first if you'd like. I'll leave it up to you, Jonathan.
So let's finish up this agenda item because we want to move on to the second item on that we wanted to talk about, and then I want to ask a question after that.
Okay, great. So the other proposed item for the April Governing Board meeting is a presentation from the Bay Foundation on the 2025 work plan for their bipartisan infrastructure law funding, or BIL funding, which is separate from the other work plan, which we just discussed. And as a reminder, this BIL funding will be used on 8 projects the Bay Foundation is leading over the course of 5 years. 2025 will be year 3. The last time the governing board was briefed on BIL funding was at the October 2023 meeting, where Tom gave an informational presentation on the equity strategy for the BIL funds. The equity strategy was required by the US EPA, and it detailed how the NEP will contribute to the Biden administration's Justice 40 initiative, which requires at least 40% of the BIL funds to benefit underserved communities. So the proposed informational item for April will inform the governing board how the BIL funding will be used in 2025. And I should also clarify that the BIL work plan will not be voted on for approval by the governing board. This will just be an informational item. Any questions?
Tom, you look like you have a question or a comment.
I have no questions, but I'm glad that we've been discussing this and figured out exactly what it looks like. So I believe we've captured it, be an information item. I've heard from this body, heard requests from Erica as to some of the detail that she would expect to help elucidate where we're at in the process with those 8 projects, plus the 9th, which is a set of funds that are helping us inform and continue to manage the equity strategy moving forward. So I think you're all going to be pleased. It's coming together nicely.
Great. So Luke, those are the 2 items you had. I would like, do you have a potential schedule for when fish and wildlife would be coming back on the information item, Biona?
Tentatively for the June governing board meeting. That is when we're discussing having that item. Of course, that will need to be approved by the executive committee. And it might be subject to change based on CDFW's availability.
Okay, so I think we have the proposed agenda items. And since we have a quorum, we can do a vote to, for approval of moving forward with these 2 agenda items. I would call for a motion.
I'll move to approve.
Seconded.
And Caitlin, can you do a roll call?
Yes, I will call members in alphabetical order by last name. Jonathan Bishop.
Aye.
EJ Caldwell.
Aye.
Rob Kemmelgard.
Yes.
Catherine Peace.
Yes.
And Dennis Washburn. You might be muted, Dennis.
Sorry, aye.
Thank you. The agenda is
Caitlin, I just want to jump in. I see you're working in the column.
Oh, thank you.
we should go back and we can vote on those other two voting items.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you for catching that, Eric.
Sorry. Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I suggest we go back to the draft minutes. Do I have a motion?
I'll second.
Okay, Caitlin, can you do a roll call?
Yes. Okay, Jonathan Bishop?
Yes.
EJ?
Hi.
Rock?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
And Dennis?
Yes.
Okay, the minutes are approved. Thank you.
So we kind of skipped over the change in the, we discussed it, the need for the change in the EC meeting and revising the dates. Does anyone have any concerns or comments on the moving it to the 23rd? Hearing none, then I will call for a motion to move the date so that we can have an update directly from the EPA representatives.
Move.
I'll second.
Okay. Caitlin.
Okay. Jonathan?
Yes.
Thank you. EJ?
Yes.
Thank you. Brock?
Yes.
Catherine?
Yes.
And Dennis?
Yes.
Thank you. The meeting date is approved and we'll send an updated calendar invite for everyone to move the May 16th meeting to the 23rd at Hyperion, not here.
And I want to thank Brock and Catherine for doing our nominations and seconds so we can keep the thing moving. And I believe that we are at the final item on the agenda, which is member comments and announcements. I do want to say my member comment and announcement is really appreciate the engagement that folks are having at the at these meetings. It was one of my goals to try and have a little higher level of engagement at the EC meetings so that we could talk through things. We're not going to solve everything here, but I think it's helpful and I appreciate it. Thank you all. Any other member comments?
Real quick, we've had a lovely winter. We had nice rains and spring is now here. And if you get the chance, get down to any number of those dune sites that we've been working on, the flowers are blooming. And it's the first time that we've ever seen the germination of this beautiful lupin that's coming up with these lovely purpley blue flowers. Somebody said that, you know, you're supposed to stop and smell the flowers, and I'm just encouraging us to do that.
Thank you, John. Any comments from any other members?
I'll share that EPA just has announced additional grant funding opportunities through our pollution prevention program. So I'm happy to, I can share the links to those requests for applications with Luke and Caitlin to share, that you can share with your amongst yourselves with your partners. And please take pictures of flowers and share them. Thank you.
Will do.
Thank you very much. Any other comments? Seeing none, I am ready to adjourn the meeting unless I miss something, Luke or Eric.
The last item is announcement of the next meeting date. I know I just did that, but.
See, I didn't even turn my paper over. Okay. So our next EC meeting will be May 23rd at Hyperion at 1 p.m. And I will see you all at the governing board meeting on April
18th.
And I will announce that I will be leaving a little early on that day. And Catherine has kindly said she would step in if the meeting is still ongoing at 11:30 when I have to leave. Thank you all. It's been a pleasure to see you.
Thank you, Jonathan.
Everyone.
Oh, and we do not have a closed session. That's correct. And we can adjourn.
Correct.